Would we like to call Catherine Tyson, please?
Before we sit down, I'll ask you to raise your right hand and be sworn. You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth in this administration, and so help you God. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Catherine.
Okay, Mr. Boyd.
Good morning, Mr. Tyson.
Good morning, sir.
I'm nervous here. Try not to be too mean.
Thank you.
Can you tell me what is your current job?
I am a planner for...
I can't hear you.
I am a planner for the Guam Housing and Urban Renewal Authority.
I'm sorry, what you're...
I'm a planner.
A planner, okay. And you're with, you're on the Board of Trustees of the Government of Guam Retirement Fund, is that correct?
Yes.
And how long have you had that job or responsibility?
Yes, since 2003.
2003. Now, earlier when I was questioning Ms. Blaza, we talked about a little bit about the 2004 RFP for certain administrator services. Do you recall that testimony?
Yes.
And you were on the member of the evaluation committee at that time, is that correct?
Yes.
And are you were the only person who was on both the 2004 and the current committee?
I don't recall the group that was for the 04.
Okay. Was my recollection correct that ASC Trust Corporation was deemed the best qualified offeror in the 2004 RFP?
Okay.
Can you, so now you've served on two of these committees or selection panels. Can you explain what your understanding of your duties and responsibilities as an evaluator are?
As I understand it, to receive the proposals for an evaluation for an RFP that are first deemed. To have met the minimum requirements as far as the criteria set by the procurement office, which is they have to turn in certain things, and after that thing is cleared by admin, by the administration of the fund, we're given the ones that pass that threshold, and we're given the job of reviewing those proposals based on the RFP criteria set forth.
Okay, and do you have any responsibility in developing the criteria upon which the different proposals will be evaluated?
No, those are set.
So in the 2004 RFP, for example, whatever the evaluation criteria and the different weights assigned to those criteria, you had no role in determining those criteria or assigning the different evaluation or weighting factors?
No.
And is that also true in the 2006 RFP?
Yes.
Do you have any recollection as to why price was made an evaluation factor in the 2006 RFP when it wasn't in the 2004 RFP?
No, I don't.
What was your understanding of the purpose of the price evaluation criteria?
Mm-hmm. My experience with procurement would say that we decided that it was just after our experiences with other processes that it is something to look at, but so long as it's not the majority factor that we are to look at it with.
How many different selection committees have you been part of, in addition to the two we've been talking about?
With just the retirement fund? I couldn't give you an exact number. I do remember that I've been on, a couple where we've selected the investment managers under the DC plan. I was on one where we sent a request for a legal RFP with that process.
So you got pictures on then?
prior to my journey.
In those others that you participated in for professional services, or the sort we're talking about here, was price ever a stated evaluation criteria in any of those prior RFPs?
I don't recall, no.
Isn't it the normal, under the normal mode, when you follow this particular mode of procurement for professionals, that you don't even look at the price until after you've determined who's the best qualified offeror?
I've had it both ways. I've seen it both ways. So long as it doesn't violate that other term where it becomes the overriding reason to look at, then it didn't faze me that it was there or that it wouldn't be there. It's just as we set it up.
What do you think someone who's responding to an RFP though? What would they think if the RFP says that their price will be given a weighted factor in evaluating them, that it will count for 40% of what is that message supposed to be to the person responding to the RFP?
That watch what your price is going to be and
sharpen your pencil and offer the best price you can think of. Now, I asked earlier, Ms. Blass explained, how the evaluation process worked, and I just want to make sure that you agree with what she said, you guys met together. Did you at all, any time, meet and discuss the different evaluation criteria and how they should be looked at amongst yourselves? Not just in general, not in relation to any specific proposal.
No, because we're given the criteria when we look through the RFP.
And so was there any opportunity for you to ask questions as to or discuss with your other members of your panel what those criteria are supposed to mean or how we should judge them?
Not a formal part of the process, no, but if anybody ever had a question, we would pose it to, we could always ask for clarification.
And who would you ask?
Normally we would ask Paula.
Okay. And in this particular evaluation, you got the proposals, you had an opportunity to review them, and then you had these meetings with the individual proponents, is that correct?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And you participated in each of those meetings?
Yes.
And had an opportunity to ask questions of the different proponents, if you had any?
Yes.
And then, once that process was done, I think we determined it on February 7, 2007, I think somewhere it says at noon, you met, your panel met, and basically filled out the evaluation sheets that were given to you by Ms. Blass. Is that correct?
Yes.
Was there any discussion amongst the three evaluators at that meeting, or did you just were asked, please fill out your forms?
Please fill out your form.
And that was it. There was no discussion.
No.
So, for example, you wouldn't have known what Joe T. participate to any of the, on any of the criteria for any of the evaluators?
No, no. We come in at, we're scheduling it at noon is kind of the norm. We can come in at that point because, in my case, I've worked for Government of Guam, so that's my available time. And we assemble in the conference room, are given our forms, and quietly do our thing.
Okay. Now, I had asked Ms. Blas, you know, in terms of evaluating that one criterion, which was price, which was supposed to be assigned 40% of the weight of the evaluation score on a 1 to 10 scale. What, when you were scoring those, what did you think was a 1 and what did you think was a 10?
Well, for me, a 1, as I evaluated?
Yeah, as you understood your responsibilities when you evaluated these three proposals.
That I was to use my discretion to assess what I, you know, what was put forth to me, and 1 would be the lowest score possible and 10 would be the highest.
What, in your ideas, and in the way you approached it, what would have earned a 10? A perfect score.
A perfect score. It would, for me, be the perfect match between the price proposal that I'm looking at and the based on the value of what I'm getting for that price.
So what if someone came in and said, I'll do it for free, what would that have been worth?
If it was a test, if it was, that's an interesting question. If somebody came in, offered their services for free, but what they were offering me in the first part of what I looked at wasn't worth it, then it would still be a low score.
So, in determining what score to assign to a pricing proposal, you took into consideration how you rated them on the technical criteria.
I did have in mind how I felt about the services that they were looking to provide.
Now, wasn't one of the first determinations you made, let me rephrase this, did you believe that all of the three proponents were capable of providing the services that were required by the fund?
Yes.
But you felt some were better, one was maybe better than the other, and which was better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But all three could have provided the services.
Mm-hmm. Yes. At a minimum, forgive me, at a minimum, all were qualified and capable of providing a service to the fund and its members.
So, you had three companies qualified to provide the services, but you still allowed your view of the quality of the services you might expect to shape what your score on the pricing criteria was.
Yes.
I'm going to, you know, we're all here because we've got to understand your scoring with the proposal. So I want to walk you through this, okay?
Okay.
I have this high tech
If you could turn to the exhibits, those exhibits, yes, to exhibit number 8. Recognize this? This is the cost proposal that was submitted by Great West that you scored.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I want you to also look at exhibit number, I think it is 7, which are your evaluation sheets. office. Now, if you look at on the Great West scores, on the second page at the bottom where it's price, you gave Great West a 9 out of 10 for their price proposal, correct?
Sorry, sir, did you say that tab 10 was the my value?
Seven, sir.
Excuse me, seven is the cost structure.
What do you got there?
Five,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Five, I'm sorry. So we're looking at five and seven together, really. So you gave the price proposal of Great West a 9 out of 10, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you have some comments you wrote in. You know, the first comment has been translated by Ms. Senzon as got one price with an arrow pointing up, but good. I think that really is option one price, correct?
Yes, that was awesome.
Option one price. And what did you mean by that? Arrow pointing up.
That's my way of marking that the option one price was high.
So they offered a high price, their option one, but then you say, but good disclosure, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then option two, you get capital N, capital no.
No.
So you rejected it?
I wasn't. As I recall from this, I didn't like option two.
Okay, so you gave option one a 9 out of the 10.
I gave Great West a 9 out of the 10, yes.
Based on their option one high proposal.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going back to 8, which is their proposal. If you can turn to page 3, where the numbers are put out, I want to understand this logic, your logic, okay? Great West offered option one was $48. Per participant per year as a starting point, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then plus what they called actual costs for local staff and communication services.
So would you give me please?
Yes.
Say yes or no.
Forgive me. Okay. Yes. Yes to your first question as far as the $48.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh, it's not recorded.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So plus... And for the purposes of evaluating this proposal, what number did you assume for that would be?
The next figure down. The next
actual cost for local staff and communication.
Yes.
What did you assume a number for that?
No.
So that's plus.
It would be. Forgive me. It would be. Whatever came from the process of from looking at it with the, it would be whatever came out if these guys were selected for us to look at.
But for the purposes of considering this, would you think of any number for that might mean? How much money in dollars that would be?
Because I've been on the board, I have in my mind what I've seen in past reports and that sort of thing coming out of the TPA, the third party administrator. But no, I didn't assign in my head or on paper a specific dollar figure.
So that was plus X dollars then, is that fair?
Yes.
And then plus 34,000 dollars, correct?
Yes.
Now, did you make any effort to figure out what this would add up to?
No, not as a hard number, no. It was a process that I was interested in. It was the ability to look at the figures and to be able to work through them with whomever we were going to be ultimately in negotiation with, to get the best information out of them for what we were based on. I don't want to sound confusing here. I look at it as the basis of the process of looking at the figures. If I thought that there was going to be good room for us to work with the potential awardees, then that was the basis where I could take that argument, that discussion, or the folks working through the negotiations could take it.
So for purposes of evaluating the proposal and assigning a rate of 40%, you didn't try to calculate what this might add up to?
Not to a hard dollar figure. I'm very much interested in the process. My focus was the process.
Okay. Well, this is basically what their existing, pretty close to what their existing pricing was, right? Other than they were charging $54.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that's $54 is what they were charging, or maybe 54 plus 16. They were going to charge 48. This X is the same as what their existing arrangement was, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're adding this $34,000 kicker for whatever it was. Now, what did you understand the next line was? Revenue sharing consists of 100% of all 12 B1 fees going on. What did that mean?
Those are the fees that come back to the retirement fund.
You understood this to say that would be credited to the fund?
Yes, but we've had in the years I've been on, we've had discussions about these fees that need to come back to the fund. Is the revenue?
Okay, and that's what you understood they were offering.
The revenue sharing, yes.
The reason I ask that is because in the agency statement in the prior GW Great West appeal, the fund took the position that they weren't offering 12B1 fees back. But if you want to clarify in your mind, that's what that meant. Okay. Now, you said great disclosure. What did you mean by great disclosure or good disclosure?
That I felt that it's been a couple of years, but that there was enough information given to me in the proposals, in the proposal by Great West, that I could see where we could start a discussion of coming to a decision that we would both be mutually happy with.
Okay.
That even if they started at a point that I'm not happy with, that there was room for us to consider.
Okay. Now, if you could turn to the sheet for ASC. You gave their price proposal a 5 out of 10. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall why off the top of your head?
Well, for me, the way I score, I look at that range between 1 and 10. I look at that midpoint as my starting point. That these folks, that I look at them and I think that they are all capable of doing it, and that when I look at it based on what was put forth to me as far as the services that were being put forth, that it was adequate for what the price was that was being given.
Okay, can we turn to exhibit number 7, please? This is the ASC cost proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easiest if you could turn to page... nine of that is Roman numeral 15, page 9, which has a summary of what they were proposing. Okay. Now, ASC said, we'll provide these services for an administrative fee of $4 per participant per quarter, or $16 per member per year, correct?
Yes.
Versus the $48 that was being proposed by Great West.
You say 16, I'm looking at.
Well, first line, administration fee, per participant quarterly administration fee, $4.
Yes. 15, 16.
Well, I'm 4 times 4. Four quarters. They did it. We'll charge 50, 48 over quarterly. That'd be $12 a quarter. I just did that.
But I'm sure I'm trying to listen to you and read this at the same time.
Sorry. And then they say we'll charge these different custodial fees and trustee fees and investment fees that added up to basically... and I'm doing math again here, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically 2 basis points times the fund values, correct? On an annual basis. $16 and then 2 basis points. And then they, just like Great West, give 100% rebate of the 12B1 fees, correct?
Yeah, I see.
And so they calculated it based on certain assumptions. That would come out to the fund with a net administrative fee of less than $100,000. Correct?
Yes.
Now, you wrote their questions with the methodology. What was your question to them?
I wish I could speak directly to. It's been a long time. It's such a long time.
Okay.
No, you go ahead and I'll see where.
Okay. Now, I just want you to look at the way ASC's looking at this.
Okay.
They're saying $16, and then they made those calculations on that page, and I want those numbers didn't come out of nowhere. If you look at Exhibit 1, page 1 of 29.
Page 1?
Mm-hmm. And if you look on there, you'll see that the third paragraph says that the VC plan currently covers approximately 8,700 participants.
Mm-hmm.
So for that pricing proposal, they multiplied those numbers by 8,700 to come up with a dollar amount. And if you look at the next paragraph, there's total value of assets under the services is approximately $126.5 million plus roughly $6.4 million, which they rounded off to $133 million. Okay? So that's how they derive that proposal. Which bottom line, when you take into account their estimates of what the 12B1 refunds would be, or rebates or credits, worked out to a cost of less than $100,000. We go back to the Great West proposal and use the same assumptions. What do we get? It's 8,700. By my calculations, that's 417,600. The X number we've already brought out, that the fees, administrative fees for 2005 were about $300,000, so that'd be plus $300,000, plus $34,000, which adds up by my math, subject to correction, to $750,000. Now, if we subtract the same amount of 12B1 fees that were assumed by Great West, the net is over $400,000. So the dilemma we have is how, if both companies can provide the services, and you have scored a cost proposal that would have resulted in fees of less than $100,000, we give that a 9 out of 10, and the one that's going to do it for a lot more money, close to $500,000, a 9 out of 10. Can you explain it?
I understand your question, I think. And I understand why my name is all over the documents just put in. And if what I was supposed to do was look at the number and just take it at the final dollar figure, then my job would have been, that's what we should have been instructed to do. But after you've spent the time reviewing what the services are that are going to be offered to the members, I looked at the two and I still felt that I was happier with what was being proposed from the Great West proposal for our DB clients, for the services that were proposed, that were RFP'd, and the figures that we got for the cost, there was enough there that we could still work it through to get to some place where we would both be. We would come to a mutual agreement, because I always look at the figures as the place we start, because I realize that after our evaluation process is done, there are going to be negotiations with the proposers, or excuse me, with the ones who were awarded after. And it isn't that I wasn't happy with the ASD proposal. But when it came down to looking at what services were to be provided, and I wasn't as happy with that, then the cost didn't merit a higher score to me, because I wasn't happy. You know, because I took it as based on the value of what I thought I was getting for under the evaluation.
So, the net effect of what you did then is to give the technical merits a higher value than 60% of the valuation score. You know, right?
I don't think so, but I'm there. My understanding of the RFP process is it's about the professional services first, and after that, I felt that if anything price, anything cost related has to be secondary to that, because it's about how well you can provide to in this case, under the TPA, as a TPA, who's going to provide the better service. I felt that was going to be the one we were looking to first, right, Josh?
So you ignored the fact that the RFP assigned a specific weight to the price factor?
Not at all. I looked at them and decided the base of size was going to be my threshold, my minimum, because I knew that the way I look at it, they wouldn't be there if they couldn't at least merit the middle point of for the services. After that, what the rest of the score was my interpretation of how we could work it through based on what I had. I don't look at it that I gave technical merit higher than 60, but I'm there to pick somebody, or I'm there to score an RFP based on the services that are going to be provided.
Well, aren't you saying that because I believe that the services that will be provided by Great West are enough superior to those that are being offered by ASC that it's worth paying several hundred thousand dollars more a year?
Can you say that again?
Well, I'm trying to... I mean, what's the result of your mind process and what you described? And as I hear you to say, you're saying, I believe that the services of Great West were sufficiently superior to those of ASC that it's worth paying several hundred thousand dollars more a year. Now, after your evaluation committee added up your scores and determined that on the raw scores that Great West was the best qualified offeror, you guys met again a week or so later, correct? Your evaluation committee.
We put in our scores. Well, let's see. We had the presentations over a couple of days. We came together in days. Yes, and then afterwards, yes.
And isn't it not a fact that the evaluation committee then essentially threw out all the price proposals and said we don't want to pay a per participant fee? Correct.
Did we throw it out?
Well, isn't what you came back to Great West and said, here's what we want. We want zero participation fees, 25% of account balances, and 12B1 rebates, and I forget the fourth, and an independent trustee, and that's the fourth thing.
The letter that you went to with Paula earlier?
Well, I think the letter that you sent on with you.
Yes.
And that was the process of the evaluation committee after the evaluation process was completed. That's when you guys decided that you wanted to offer Great West. Or demand of Great West, I guess.
Yes.
So we basically gave it to them on a take or leave it basis, correct?
We wanted their, I think that's the point where we asked for their best, whatever we did, or, I'm trying to remember when we, I can't recall, sir. I'm trying to recall when we asked for their best and final offer and how that figures into it. It's a long time ago.
Where I'm going with this, again, I'm not trying to confuse you, but that looks more like the price proposal you put a big NO on. Closer to that than the one that you gave a 9 out of 10. And I'm just trying to understand how you went from a no, NO, capital N, capital O, to offering something very close to that.
I sit on the review panel with two other members. And while I appreciate that we're looking at my scores, the way we move forward is based on discussion of the group, and we do that in a group setting. So once my evaluation scores have been put in and figured and worked through the calculation, at that point, we start from ground zero and try to see where it's going to lead us. So it isn't, to me, when I'm looking at it, I see it as we did it as a group decision by looking at it from now I have the ability to pull on the experience and the expertise that come from the two other members of my group plus the staff that, the retirement staff that assists us.
You recognize, of course, that the scoring on this price proposal by you changed the result or altered the result.
I see now that the sheets ahead of in front of us. But at the time I was scoring it, I didn't know that I was going to be the factor that weighed out the change the course of things for ASC. I did it based on just the Great Western, just the Lincoln, and just the ASC.
Now that you've been walked through the numbers, do you see though where ASC might have that they were treated unfairly?
I can see by the numbers that were put in, I can see where they might see it that way. But given that I'm looking at the fee proposals, the price proposals put in based on the value I put against the services too, then I still stick by what I originally came to. Although I entirely see where ASC folks are coming from, that if they didn't see themselves at the top of the list with the bottom number, then
on price.
On price.
So,
but I have no way to know that this is where I'd end up, or that this is where this would end up 2 years hence.
I have any more questions?
Ms. Lindsay?
Catherine, I'm going to ask you about the evaluation kind of in a more detailed manner, so bear with me and we can go through this. I know it's been a while. So if you don't remember the answer, how you came about, I'm not asking you to guess.
Okay.
To the evaluation sheet, which is ASC's exhibit number 5. Can you turn to, let's look at the Great West Retirement Services one, which I believe is the 3/4 page in. Okay, from there. I'm going to ask you about the scoring that you gave for the offerors on the evaluation sheets, and we'll just kind of go through each one of the different factors that are enumerated.
Other than price?
I'm sorry?
Other than price?
The whole evaluation sheet is what I'm looking at.
Well, I would object to the relevance of that. We're only right here on the price factor.
That's true, except that Ms. Tychno's testimony was that she, in evaluating the price, looked at the qualitative factors. So I want to understand. I'm sorry?
Will you stipulate to that fact?
No, because your question or your issue goes to her arbitrariness and reasonableness of attaching a number to the price. And her testimony is that she attached that number based on what she thought the qualitative or the quality of services would be. So that's where my inquiry is going.
Well, I object, Mr. Cruz. We didn't come here to argue whether that whether it was proper to give Great West a 10 on one criteria and a lower score to ASC. We're not prepared to, we didn't raise those issues. We've accepted the criteria, that the results of the rating on the technical criteria. So I don't understand why we would be going into it. I'd have to ask her questions that have nothing to do with why we're here.
He's asking, he just elicited testimony from the witness that said that the reason why she marked price scores the way she did was because she also considered the quality of the services to be provided to be, you know, a determinative factor on how to evaluate the pricing. So I want to go into what she thought was going to be a factor in quantifying the score to attach to the price. That's her testimony. That's how she arrived at the evaluation factor for the pricing.
Okay, I'm going to overrule the objection, but at the risk of possibly opening up, I guess, the opportunity for Mr. Blair to come back later. Although, you know, again, we want to try to focus this as much as possible. So if you could try to keep it brief, as brief as you could.
I'll keep it as brief as I can, seeing as to how Mr. Blair was the one that opened the doors to what she considered to be reasonable in terms of attaching a number to the price.
We'll let you go for a certain period of time, but please don't make it too lengthy. Otherwise, Mr. Blair might want to come back with
grounds for appeal.
Well,
there are many grounds for appeal, I think, on the record at this point.
This is cross. I'll allow a certain amount of questioning to go on.
I don't intend to belabor any point, obviously. As far as the evaluation factors go, you ranked plan for performing the required services for Great West Retirement Services an 8. And what was your thought process behind that? If you can sum it up in one sentence, that would be great.
I looked at all the...
If you need to refer to the sheet, I mean, it's, you know, I just wanted to get it into the record. Yes.
I liked their plan. I liked the way they were approaching the services they were going to provide to our membership.
Why was it important for the vendor to be able to, obviously you ranked them pretty high, why was it important for the vendor to be able to perform that service?
Our membership deserves the best service we can possibly provide them. And this is the group that's going to be hands-on with them.
And then moving forward to number 2, ability to administer the plan and benefits administration process in a cost-effective manner. You ranked them a 9. Why did you rank them a 9?
Again, without being able to go through the specifics of the actual submission, I am comfortable with the way they intended to structure their delivery of services.
Okay, and moving on to number 3, breadth and depth of experience, specialized training, and industry recognition of professional staff. Again, you rank them pretty high with a 9. And what was your thought behind that?
I remember liking the information they provided us with respect to their experience in the field.
With regard to number 4, ability to be responsive and accessible to the retirement fund and to DCRS and deferred compensation plan participants. You ranked them 10, which is the max. What was your thought process behind that? clearly the fact that they are in a place that is recognized as the retirement fund, that they're already co-located with what everybody understands to be the fund. That to me was superior over the others.
I noticed, if I can go back, in the evaluation that you have of ASC, where you ranked, or you scored GWRS an 8 for number 1, you scored ASC a 5. Why did you score ASC a 5?
I found that their plan was adequate for providing services.
And again, you testified earlier that you start all you're basically starting at a 5, which is your minimum requirements, basically, is what you're saying?
That's the way I look at it. You'd actually have to do something in your proposal that I didn't like for you to hit the lower end of the spectrum.
And number 2 on ASC's evaluation sheet, ability to administer the plan and benefits administration process in a cost-effective manner, you gave them a 6. Why? This is the 9 that you gave to GWRS.
I look at our participants, and I do think about them in terms of their Can I say something to you, Maria, or in general? I'm looking at these guys based on their proposal, and I look them all the way through, and I don't look at the next one. So when I look at this, to look at the 9 and the 6, I looked at their proposal, and I looked at what they provided, and it was on their proposal that I looked at it and scored them a 6. So when I look at the 9, I can really only say that I looked at that entire proposal and felt comfortable enough to give them a 9 for Great West and 6 based on what they put forth.
So every time you look at when you did the sheet, I'm sorry, you're saying that you ranked or you scored them based on what you recall to have
mm-hmm.
come out of their similar proposal, their
mm-hmm.
comparative.
Yes.
Moving down into the next factor, which is the knowledge of legislative, operational, and legal aspects of Guam public pension funds, as well as federal laws pertinent to the investment management and plan administration of the DCRF and deferred compensation plan. You ranked Great West Retirement a 9 and ASC a 6. Do you recall why you ranked each one as such?
One is the incumbent, but for the 6, the easy one, Great West is the existing provider and is knowledgeable of what is required of the based on local law to run a program, also in compliance for what they do with federal law. Best I can recall, when I look at the ASC, I see, in my memory, I see the type of work that they do locally, and I look at it, but I don't know that they have, but I don't assume that they have the government side that's really that's scary, because our law is so complicated when it comes to the retirement fund.
Okay, and then the next one, ability to improve participant satisfaction and benefits administration services received from the retirement fund. What is that factor? What does that factor mean to you, and why did you rank the proposals?
For me, it's the plan of attack. It's how they plan to reach our members, how they plan to interact with our members, to get the word out, to bring their education level up. And that moves us to number seven, which is the educational resources and ability to provide ongoing training.
Yeah, all the proposals that I remember, as I remember with all the proposals, each of them had, they provided to us a set of, like, you know, substantive training materials or educational materials. And, you know, I looked at that as the type of stuff that we're going to be providing to our members, as well as the skills to deliver the message.
And then record of past performance of similar work, which is the next factor, eight. What does that mean to you, and why did you rank them as you did?
Oh, that's fair. That would be the experience with the membership. Large groups, interspersed, you know, all the way around. I mean, even though GovCon is one employer, they are all over the place at different hours of the day, and running a fund, you know, with that many people, I wanted to know that they had, I felt happier with it, for us to be able to reach our membership in you know, an effective manner.
And then the other factors, what of the different factors that were listed under number nine, obviously you had a mindset as to what was to be considered under other factors. What did you consider to be kind of the determining point and why you ranked each one the way you did?
I was looking through the types of materials that were provided in the proposals at the time. And forgive me, I couldn't for the life of me quote one of them. Although the education material really was something I did look at more. But it was that other factor. It was what, you know, how you read through what you saw and how you interpreted it to kind of contribute to the entire delivery of the services, but also delivery of the information back to us so that we could do our job managing the activities at the board level.
And knowing what you know now, Mr. Blair walked you through a whole mathematical calculation of, you know, the price listing and asked you, you know, in your opinion, would it have been okay, basically, to rephrase his question, if GWRS had charged several $100,000 more if the services qualitatively, in your opinion, were better? And is it correct that your testimony was yes, that would be the scenario?
Yes.
So even looking at what you know now as far as the numbers go, and looking at your evaluation sheets where you rank Great West Retirement with a 9 and ASP with a 5, would that still ring true? Is your evaluation essentially the same way that you feel today?
It is. It's it's an odd position to be put in to try and look at it and say in retrospect, would I have done the same thing? I still think I would.
In your mind, when you ranked the price consideration, did you feel that there might be room for negotiation as far as price is concerned?
Yes. Well, that's true of any proposal process.
And did that weigh into your scoring determination?
It does.
Do you recall anywhere in the RFP or in the evaluation where you were instructed to give a lower price offer a higher ranking?
No.
Do you feel that, that's the argument that Mr. Blair is making, that, you know, the lower price should necessarily be higher ranked? Do you feel that that is true?
No.
Why is that? At least in this particular instance.
In this instance and in any, in this instance. It would really depend on what you are offering me for what, you know, for what would benefit the members. And I felt
I thought that the package for Great West better suited what I thought I wanted for the services for as a TPA.
I don't have any further questions.
Okay, Mr. Barnes. Ms. Tycanaw, we had no intention of probing your mind on what these other factors were. ASC walked into this hearing accepting your ratings on these technical criteria, but now that it's been deemed necessary to talk about them, I just want to ask about a couple. Let's talk about criteria number 4, 10, which is ability to be responsive and accessible to the retirement fund and to DCRS and deferred compensation plan participants. You gave Great West a 10 out of 10 for that. And am I correct that that's because they had at the time a free office at the retirement fund building?
It's because the DC members are familiar with where they're at now, yes, because of the fund.
Did you contemplate that if ASC got the contract, they could fill that office too? They could just take the space?
I guess they could, but I didn't make that jump. I figured they're going to run it out of their own shop where they run all their other programs.
And how many employees does Great West have on Guam that can meet with people under their proposal?
I'm only familiar with the ones that come to, that we deal with or that we see as members of the board.
The ones who would be available, responsive, and accessible to the fund participants. How many are there?
I can think of two off the top of my head.
Two. How many people does ACS have employed on Guam?
I don't remember. If they put that in their proposal, I don't recall.
So you think a company located in the States somewhere with two local employees could be more accessible than a Guam-based company with many more employees?
Specifically, I think along terms of what our fund members are familiar with, they feel comfortable being able to, they've been comfortable, in the time that I've been there, getting their responses for the DC out of the guys upstairs in that office.
So basically they got a 10 because they had a free office at the retirement.
They got a 10 because they were in the fact that they were in a familiar place for folks.
Okay. How about going to number 7, ability, this kind of relates to the same question, ability to provide ongoing training. Does two employees also provide training to fund participants?
Number 7?
Yeah.
Yes.
Seven of them.
Mm-hmm. And that's the section that I looked at towards the materials. I looked at that for the materials that they were going to provide to our participants as the services.
But the fact that you have a Guam-based company with local employees didn't factor into the ability to provide the services?
Each of the proposers gave us samples of actual things that they were going to use as education materials for our participants, and I looked at that across the board, and I was happy with all the materials that were provided.
Doesn't there have to be a person to explain the materials?
Yeah.
They had two people in their Guam office.
I know two people in their Guam office that I deal with or I've met.
Okay.
I don't know gosh off the top of my head about anybody else that's got over there who can do what's done for the membership.
Okay. Yeah. It's not my intention to, was not my intention to get into this at all. I think it should be self-apparent that the Great West, you know, ASC could have protested on the fact that it was treated unfairly on these different other criteria. It didn't choose to do so. I still think it's not relevant, so I'm not going to ask any questions.
Okay, anything else? Okay, so the auditor.
The door has already been opened. I'm going to follow up on the question, related question to that factor. In your scoring, you ranked Great West as number one, but it appears from your scoring, the tabulation, that you ranked not ASC, but I guess think what I forgot what LFG stands for.
Lincoln.
Lincoln as number two. And Great West was ranked number three in the technical merits.
You mean ASC?
I'm sorry. Thank you. Great West, was, in your scoring, Great West was ranked number one. Lincoln was ranked number two. And ASC was ranked number three. What was it, just as a general observation, what was it that made, on your scoring, that made Lincoln slightly better than ASC?
My presentation.
Was this their presentation of the, when I say presentation, was it the oral presentation or was it the written presentation?
No, I liked both. Forgive me. So now I'm sounding like, their 2 years ago, I liked their oral presentation, but I did like aspects of their paper, their, you know, their written proposal as well.
Okay. So overall, from your recollection, you thought that Lincoln had both in their written proposal as well as their oral presentation was slightly better than ASC's. And I take it then by, and overall, though, we were happiest with Great Western.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any follow-on questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Hagnell, for your testimony. Who will your next witness be?
Just Mr. Coons, he's been waiting patiently.
Okay. It's 12:10 now, and we are going to take a lunch break. So is 1:30 good? Come back?
It's fine with me.
1:30. Who else will be testifying?
Mr. Coons and Mr. John.
Okay. And you intend to call any other witnesses?
I really don't have a plan to call
anyone else
other than.
Okay, I think we'll be able to hopefully finish this afternoon. So, Mr. Cruz, sorry we had to sit through the morning. We might have actually just called you back. But, okay, we'll see you all at 1:30. 1:30.